All right. Good morning, everybody. Let's just pray first. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather, seek your face, seek your words, and help us to hear from you and understand what your word says to us this morning. Just may we even this morning just experience you, and that your words, as we go through it, it would be like living words that would speak into our lives and our soul. We thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be reading from Exodus 6. I just give you a quick recap of where we left off at Exodus 5. So in Exodus 5, Moses was obedient to God's directive, which was to confront Pharaoh and or let him know. And, you know, Moses asked quite nicely. He said, "Please let my people go." And as a result of that, Pharaoh responded harshly, and he made it even harder and kept the same quota of the amount of bricks that they needed to make, but didn't provide straw. And so as a result, they were just suffering. The Israelites, they were, as a result, blaming Moses for all this. And the chapter ends with Moses going to God and saying, "God, like, I did what you said, and look what happened. Nothing's working out." And so that's basically where we end at Exodus 5. And now at Exodus 6, let's read together, and it's the Lord responding to Moses. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion, he will let them go, and under compulsion, he will drive them out of his land.' God spoke further to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourned. Furthermore, I have heard the groanings of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord.' So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the sons of Israel go out of his land.' But Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, 'Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech.' Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron and gave them a charge to the sons of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These are the heads of their fathers' households, the sons of Reuben, Israel's firstborn: Hanok and Pallu, Hezron and Carmi. These are the families of Reuben. The sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jachin and Zohar and Shal, the son of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generation: Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And the length of Levi's life was 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni, Shimei, according to their families. the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Ishar, and Hebron, and Uzziel, and the length of Kohath's life was 133 years. The sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushi, these are the families of the Levites according to their generations. Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the length of Amram's life was 137 years. The sons of Ishar, Korah, and Nepheg, and Zichri, the sons of Uzziel, Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sithri. Aaron married Elishaba, the daughter of Aminadab, the sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, the sons of Korah, Aser, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites. Aaron's son, Eleazar, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites, according to their families. It was the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt, according to their hosts." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing out the sons of Israel from Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you." But Moses said, Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?" All right. Amen. That was a stressful read, especially reading all the names. Thank you. Okay, so we see God's response, right? Despite Moses's doubt, basically, in God's capability because of the circumstances, which is everything gets worse through his obedience. God basically reassures and says, "I will do this," right? "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh." And then he says, God spoke. I just want to highlight at verse 2, it says, "God spoke further to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord, and I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them.'" So kind of a peculiar thing that he's saying, right? He says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they know me as God Almighty, but they did not know me as Lord because I didn't reveal myself to them as Lord. And so the word for God Almighty is the Hebrew word El Shaddai, right? So he's saying, they know me and I revealed to them as El Shaddai. But I did not reveal to them as Lord. So that's the Hebrew word Yahweh. And in Exodus, I believe, 3, where, you know, God said, Moses poses the question, "Oh, like, who shall I say you are if I say, like, you know, the Lord says, or says, 'Let my people go.'" He says, "Oh, I am. That's who you should say I am, because I am Lord. I am Yahweh." And it's not that they didn't, because if you look back prior to this situation, the name Yahweh does appear to the people, to the forefathers, like Jacob. That name does appear. So it's kind of, it almost seems like a conflict, right? Because we see in Scripture the word Yahweh appear, and yet it says they didn't know my name. So what does that mean? Well, what it means is, this is what I read, is they knew his name Yahweh, but they didn't know him in terms of the experience of Yahweh, right? And so generally what they knew, the revelation that they brought, was of God Almighty. But as Yahweh, it was like a deeper revelation of who he was. It was a revelation of the personal relationship, the experiential. It was to a new level. And so prior to this, you could say the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they knew God as the God who made a promise to them, the promise maker, right? This is my promise to you. You'll get land, your descendants will multiply, and your descendants are going to impact the nations, the rest of the world, and be a blessing, right? That was the promise that was made. But what Moses was going to experience was not just a promise maker, but also the promise keeper, the fulfillment of it, which was they would go to the land and multiply, land of fruit and honey. And so he's saying, they didn't know me like you will know me in a deeper way, right? And I think we can also draw from this to assess into our lives, but also as we disciple other people. Who is it that you know in terms of God? Do you just know God as God Almighty, who is sovereign and all-powerful? Or do you know him as something more, as implied here, right? Yahweh. And we see the experiences that Moses had. And, you know, and some people, even though they know of God's goodness, and they know, okay, I know God is good. I know that God is personal. I know that he's relational. All these things, even though you know of it, that doesn't necessarily mean you've experienced it, right? And that's what we should aim for, right? Not just the idea of God, but the actual knowing of God. And then later, God, after this, he continues to basically establish to Moses what he's going to do. And there's 7 I will statements he makes. He says, I will bring you out from under the laborers. I will rescue. I will redeem. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham. I will give it to you as a possession. So there's 7 I will statements. And this is to stress that it's really God who's going to do it. It's not Moses. I know we look at this story like, oh, Moses is so amazing because he lifted his staff. The seas split apart. He did all these miracles. But it's not really Moses who's amazing, right? It's really God. And it's God who will do it. And if we can take this for us and understand it's God who is going to do it, it really will change your life, right? Because the problem we have is even though we know God is real and God is powerful and good, we don't really think or live our life in a way that we think God's going to do it. We think, I will do it, right? I'm going to take care of it. And if you have that mindset of, I'm going to do it, that's where you're going to get stressed out. You're going to get anxious. You're going to be burdened. You're going to be drained. But if you have the mindset that God's going to take care of it, that's going to take away all the stress and pressure and performance and disappointment that you have. And this was a shift for me as a house church leader. When I first started house church leader, it was all me doing it. I got to do it. I got to make it work. I was stressing about making the discussion good and thriving and if people had a good time. And it was so draining. And I remember at every break, I would like, at the end of house church, I would be relieved of that stress. And then the stress, and then when a house church was coming, I would feel that stress. At every house church break, I would rejoice. And when the house church break ended, no matter how long it went, there was like, oh, here we go, right? But something changed in me. And I think basically because house church wasn't really working, I wasn't enjoying it, and we weren't growing, and I could tell objectively it wasn't very good. And just changed the way it worked, the way I viewed house church, where I can't do it. I can't make this work. Only God can do it. So we changed the way we did house church. Instead of making a good discussion, we just prayed and listened, and whatever God wanted to do, we would just do it. And God was faithful, and he did it. He was the one who did it. And suddenly it changed. Whereas before it was draining, now it was fun. I looked forward to doing house church. Not just house church, but whether it be missions or whatever, I look forward to it. I can say now when house church season ends, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I could keep going. Like, I want that, but I appreciate the break too. But I can say when we start house church again at the end of the break, I always look forward to it, right? Because it's not me, it's God. And I just look forward to what he's going to do. And I can say he's been faithful. Like, he's added numbers, you know, and I can say it wasn't me. It was really God, right? And so we need to shift our mind in the way we function in our life, with the way we do ministry, the way we do house church. It's not me, it's God. God's the one. He's the one who will do it. But I just want to say, you know, one last thing, and this is in verse 12, but also at the very end, you know, what happens is the people, the Israelites, are not responsive to Moses, right? So they're like, oh, we don't believe you anymore. So God asks him, okay, well, confront Pharaoh now. And he responds with, behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me as I am unskilled in speech? He's saying, oh, if the Israelites don't even listen to me, who are my people, how on earth is Pharaoh going to listen to me, right? It would be like, I don't know, like, if my church members don't even listen to me, how am I supposed to talk and evangelize to non-church members? How am I supposed to witness to non-Christians when I can barely witness to my house church members or church members? And he says, and he makes his excuse, as I am unskilled in speech. So in the King James Version, it says, how then shall Pharaoh hear me who am of uncircumcised lips? So he's saying, so this is the actual Hebrew word. It's actually uncircumcised lips. Kind of interesting choice of words. And so normally, those who are circumcised, it represents the covenant that the Israelites have with God. And so it's kind of like, oh, God's on my side. I have his presence. This is what represents this is what represents our covenant. And so he's saying, I have uncircumcised lips. All to say, he's saying, the speech when I talk to the Israelites, it's like I'm uncircumcised, right? So the words I'm speaking, it's like God is not speaking through me. And so all to say, he has doubts again, right? But all to say, I think that's okay, right? This is not the preferred, where we always question God and doubt God, but it's okay, right? Because, you know, I shared last sermon on order of for house church. I kind of said why the importance of putting God first. And I said, why is it that we don't put God first? Even though we know God is the best, God is good, God is powerful, he's got your best interest, why don't we put God first? The reason is because we have no need for God, right? That's the worst thing that could happen, is you just have no need for God, and that's why God doesn't need to work in your life. But you see, with Moses, this shows he still has an incredible need. He recognizes, I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. I'm full of doubt. I'm full of fear. But that's the point, right? That's why I think their relationship is so special. He's so aware of his need for God, right? He's so aware. And so despite these questions, I mean, it doesn't go so much this time into what exactly the Lord said to Moses. I presume he's still, my presumption based on the last time when he made excuse after excuse and said, oh, just send someone else. He wasn't super happy. But nevertheless, it says, nevertheless, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a command concerning the sons of Israel. So I think in the end, he's just like, you just got to do it because it's my will. And they did. So I want to invite Samuel up. And I think we can just go back to the point of, you know, God will. God is the one who's going to do it. If he's made any sort of promises into your life, if you know his character, he's going to be the one to do it. So let's just take a quick moment to just reflect. How is God working in your life? Is he the one to do it? Or is it you just making it things happen? I mean, yeah. We see the text, Moses shares with the people, they reject him, and it's not like he's trying that hard to convince them. He's just like, oh, okay, that's true. Things got worse after what happened, right? He didn't even have to convince them, because God's the one who's going to convince. And even with witnessing, right? When we share the gospel with people or witness to people, it's not us who's going to transform hearts. And something that Juanita messaged me about, she said, yeah, not only that, but when they reject the gospel and the good news, they're not really rejecting you. They're actually rejecting Jesus. So it's not really about us. So let's, just from the passage, how, because of God's character and goodness, how he will, he's the one who's going to do it in our lives. Let's just, if there's anything that you're controlling, trying to make work, let's just lay it down to the Lord. And let's just pray to the God, pray to God.
Joy our hearts can see. Yes, our hearts.
God, we see Moses, so not only is he aware of God's presence, but he's so desperate and needy of God's presence because he's aware of his weaknesses, his limitations. He knows without God, he's unable to convince or change Pharaoh. He's not able to convince or change the Israelites, his people. And so it's almost like I was just, during the worship, I was just saying, oh, he's almost, even though he's an 80-year-old man, it's almost like he's a child. So needy, but so needy, right? But yet I think God loves that Moses was so dependent and needy. And we see later when God gets frustrated with the Israelites and is like, I can't do this anymore. I'll just bless you, but I'm not gonna go with you guys anymore. Moses refused. He had become so needy and dependent on the person that was God. And so he couldn't let go of that. And so he demanded, like, if you don't go with me, then I can't do this. Such a needy, such a dependent relationship. And so, Lord, we're so inspired by you, God, by you. You're the one who's gonna be the one to bring change and transformation. You're the one who's gonna be the one to make our lives work. That if we're also to, not just for our personal lives, but even to impact other lives, we can't do it on our own. We can't muster it up. We can't just make use of our talents and abilities. We need you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray for the same humility that Moses had, that he could be so dependent and so aware of what he wasn't and what he was not able to do, and that we would be so dependent on you, and also allow you to just work in our lives, Lord. Yes, in Jesus' name. Let's turn to the screens. Let's pray for our community. Let's cover those who are going through cancer. Let's pray for God's encouragement, for God's strength and healing touch to be upon them. Let's also pray for those going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for the same thing as well. Also pray for those going through illness, also in need of a word of salvation. Let's pray for opportunities for God to speak to them directly, for the people who are surround them. Let's pray for their boldness and courage to find the right time to share the good news with these people. Thank you. Let's also cover those who are suffering from infirmities. Pray for God to bring 100% healing into their lives. Pray for our community. Let's pray for their jobs. Let's pray for provision. Pray for God to lead them to right opportunity. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore, Pastor Sam Kim. Let's pray for Indonesia, Spin, P. Salamat. Let's pray for the Philippines, Spill, with P. Ernie. Education Ministries, SP Kids, led by P. Mary and Lisa, SP Youth, led by Donald, and SPU, led by P. Andrew. Also our evening outreach. Let's pray for SP Lights. Let's pray for Homie Outreach. Let's pray for favor, for boldness, that they would share the good news, but also build relationships. backtrack one. Let's also cover our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for IP intercessory prayer led by Matt. Let's pray for The Well, our physical healing ministry led by Sarah. And also let's pray for The River, our inner healing ministry led by Rachel. For the house churches that are meeting today, tonight, let's pray for East Bay, Mick Robinson. Let's pray for Olympic, Robin Hood, and Cullinan West. Let's pray that they have a great time of discussion and fellowship, and it just be so fruitful, and that they would also have they would also experience God in the process. Our pregnant ladies at SP, let's cover Vivian, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Mon, Yiling, Vicky, and just others. Let's pray for God's protection over the mommies, the babies, for just healthy, normal development for the babies. Pray against stress or anxiety or fear. Let's pray for peace, and that the moms, the dads can just enjoy this time before the baby comes. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our home. Let's lift up the Hong Kong, the leaders, the government. Let's pray for the wealth gap, the marginalized. Let's pray for the healthcare workers and COVID. Let's cover Hong Kong. Yes, Lord, just thank you for your word today, and just a reminder, Lord, that you're the one who will do it, not us. That not only are you able and capable to bring miracles, to bring transformation, to bring fulfillment into our lives. Not only are you able and capable, but it's also your heart and desire to do it. You want to. And so, Lord, we want to put you as Lord in our life, not just by our lips where we say, call you Lord, but that you would actually reign as Lord, that we would give you the control in our lives to be Lord and do whatever you want. And so, Lord, may you be Lord of our day, and just continue to speak to us and lead us. I pray that you would help us to discern your voice and your will. And yes, Lord, that we would be so aware of your presence, Holy Spirit. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please continue to spend your time with God, and have a great day.